Next on Illinois Edition, we'll talk with 13th District Congressman Rodney Davis. He's running for a second term. He faces Democrat Ann Callas. And Congressman Davis, this Congress has been criticized quite a bit as a do-nothing Congress. Not a lot was finalized before you guys had to leave there for your recess this month. What's the priority when you go back?
Well, the priority is to make sure that we avoid another government shutdown, that we pass a spending bill. We in the House have been actually going through our constitutional appropriations process, and that process allows me as a new member of Congress to actually have a role in how we reprioritize how Washington spends the hardworking taxpayers' tax dollars that are sent out to D.C. However, the Senate, just like they've held up over 350 pieces of legislation that we've passed in the House, one of them including my Hire More Heroes Act, which would incentivize small businesses to hire more of our veterans, passed with one no vote. You can't get much more bipartisan than that. These are the types of bills that the Senate is holding up, and they have yet to pass one single appropriations bill. So that puts us down to a road of another large spending bill, and that is not good for America.
How possible is it that we could see a government shutdown? Are you really concerned about that, or do you think this will work itself out?
I think it'll work itself out. I don't think there's a chance for a shutdown. But still, putting together large spending plans that are negotiated by the president and leaders of both parties of both houses doesn't allow for a quality reprioritization of how we spend our federal tax dollars. It leads to sequestration. It leads to across-the-board cuts. When we're doing the work that we're supposed to do as Congress and the House has the power of the purse, we lose the ability to have that constitutional authority over the purse when the leaders of both parties, both chambers, sit together with the president and come up with a spending plan because the Senate won't do their job and pass appropriations bills.
Do you agree with that criticism, do-nothing Congress? We've not seen a lot of things that people have agreed on and can get to the president's desk, so maybe that criticism is justified?
I disagree with your premise, Sean, and I think we have addressed some very major issues in the last few months. We've been able to, just a few months ago, pass a long-term farm bill that was held up because of political partisan purposes. That bill also saved taxpayers $23 billion in mandatory spending, got rid of direct payments, made sure that those who need food assistance are going to get food assistance. That's a bill that passed with a bipartisan majority. I was on that conference committee. We also passed a WERDA bill. It's a water infrastructure bill. That had been held up by partisan politics too. And then you couple that with what we did with the VA. The VA, by their own admission, created a problem that it didn't need to be created and denied our veterans the care they deserve. And we put together a bill, a bipartisan bill that just passed a few weeks ago, that's going to hold the VA accountable, allow the VA to fire these bad managers. It's shocking to me that Congress has to pass a bill to tell the VA to hire people who I think exhibited criminal behavior. And now it's up to the administration to actually hold them accountable. And we also passed a temporary fix to the Highway Trust Fund. That wasn't my first choice, Sean. We need to put together a long-term transportation bill in the future. But the last thing I wanted for families in my district who rely upon the construction industry, who feed their family because they're out on a construction site or a bridge work site, like the one that's been going on Route 48 between Taylorville and Raymond, they would have been pulled off that work site. We did what we needed to do. People and families are going to be able to continue to have that job.
One of the things that did not get accomplished was anything that really dealt with these unaccompanied kids coming across the border. Where do you see that situation going?
Well, we did in the House. We stayed over. We passed a bill that actually addresses the unaccompanied minor crisis. We also made sure that it was a secure our border bill first, and it was a lot less costly than what the president wanted. Remember, the president, when this became part of the 24-hour news cycle just a short time ago, the president said, I need $2 billion. And then overnight, he said, I need $4 billion. Well, the American taxpayers don't trust this president to enforce the existing immigration laws, let alone are willing to give him just carte blanche approval over $4 billion. And we needed to do our job to make sure we put a good plan in place, and we did. And again, the Senate left town without acting on this. If this is a crisis and they believe it's a crisis and it needs to be addressed, they should have passed their own version. They should go back to Washington and pass it now so that we can come up with a common sense solution like we have with the VA, like we have with the water infrastructure bill, and like we have with our transportation patch and also the farm bill.
We're talking with Congressman Rodney Davis. He's a Republican from the 13th District. Well, you were recently endorsed by the Illinois Education Association. I would imagine there are probably a few conservatives who might question that, might wonder, are you a little too close with unions, teacher unions especially? Can you comment on that?
Well, one thing I found in my short time in Washington, Sean, and no matter what decision you make, no matter what you do, you're going to get criticized, and it could come from your own party. But in this case, you know, I have three kids in the public school system. I've got a daughter who's going to be a senior at Taylorville High School. I've got twin boys who are going into eighth grade. I believe in the public school system. I send my children to the public school system. And I went to Washington without getting the endorsement of the Illinois Education and the Illinois Education Association and the National Education Association in 2012. I told them where we could work together. And you know what? I've been able to back up those commitments by working on some very important issues with them, and I am proud to have their endorsement because there are small towns throughout my district where the school, the public school, is the center of the community, and I want to make sure they know that I'm fighting for them regardless of what the political perception is when it comes to political endorsements.
Do you support a minimum wage increase at this point?
I've always said it's very, very frustrating when you've got a federal government, you've got an administration who has put forth things like Obamacare and with the Affordable Care Act that is costing taxpayers and families hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month more just to provide health care. We've got a problem with families trying to afford groceries and gasoline, and we in this country are dealing with an administration in Washington that just wants to play politics and try and do something that's going to drive what they think is a certain sector of the vote out in a year that's not a presidential year. I talk to a lot of college students, and I also have 9 colleges and universities in my district. And you know who's most adamantly opposed to a minimum wage increase? It's those public universities like the University of Illinois at Springfield, where an increase is going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's going to cost the public university system statewide. So those are some of the reasons I have for saying if we're going to raise the minimum wage, then let's make sure that we don't talk about a minimum wage job being a career. And that's a message I send to the youth that I talk to. Any politician who comes up to you and says a minimum wage job should be your career, run from them. Because they're telling you that you can't achieve the American dream. My dad started out working at the very first McDonald's ever opened in Des Moines, Iowa in 1959. He walked in, flipped burgers, shucked French fries, and had no intention of ever staying in that job. No one ever told him that minimum wage job would be a career. He wanted to achieve the American dream. He said, I want to work here, and I want to own one of these one day. Well, 17, 18 years later, he got his wish. He worked hard. He moved up through that organization, and now in 1977, he moved us from Des Moines, Iowa to Taylorville, Illinois because he wanted to achieve the American dream. He had no intention of ever making a minimum wage job his career, and it offends me as a policymaker when any politician tries to take our youth and turn minimum wage jobs into a career, and it kills their ability to dream and dream big.
President's health care law, of course, had a much publicized bumpy rollout, to say the least.
It did.
And then where are we at now with it? Do you think that is this something now that can work? Do you think it's something that should stick around? I know at one point you talked about repealing it.
No, I voted to repeal it. I voted to replace it, and I still would. I think especially when you look at next month into October, when you see the exponential, what I think may be exponential rate increases come forward. I think many taxpayers are going to put the Affordable Care Act up to the top of priorities that need to be addressed in Washington.
Do you think that's going to happen when the bills come, basically?
When you have a system that's devised to be paid for by taxes through the employer mandate, the individual mandate, the Cadillac tax, that those aren't being collected, the revenue has to come from somewhere. And I think it's going to come from rate increases to the hardworking taxpayers of this country.
We've been talking with the 13th District Congressman, Republican Rodney Davis. He is running for re-election in the district. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Sean.